Who do you want to be like?
I'd love to be like Daniel. I'd love to be like Jesus. I'd love to be like other people who I've looked up to. They made it look so easy. They seemed so unencumbered by all of the burdens and the technicalities and the laws. They just lived life and it worked for them. That's who I want to be. And I think deep down inside, that's who you want to be. So don't let other people tell you how to live.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It's one thing to serve and obey the Lord when things are going great, but what about when the heat is on and your very own life is threatened if you do? Today on The Balanced Word, we're encouraged to trust and follow the Lord just as Daniel did. He was told not to pray, and if he did, he'd be thrown into a den of lions. Well, that didn't deter Daniel, as we'll soon see, but God would protect him through it all. Pastor Dave Rolf opens Daniel chapter 6 for more on this very inspirational story of courage and discipline.
People today are so scared. Somebody told me there was an article in the paper this last week about what people in Orange County are most afraid of. And one of the top things was identity theft. And I got a thing in the mail. Oh, you used your credit card at Home Depot, so now we're going to send you a new card. Big deal. I mean, why am I afraid of that? I know the way credit cards are. If I've been, you know, there have been times when I had identity theft happen to me, filled out a couple papers and it was okay. And yet people are just scared to death of that. Ooh, I'm afraid that's going to happen to me. Most of us, it won't happen to us. And if it does, we won't suffer any kind of loss, maybe a few minutes of our time. But we're scared. Some people, I watch them driving on the road, and the whole time, they're scared to death of cops. They're like, they're on the freeway, they're driving like 85, and they're like this, all paranoid. And it's like, well, you could just slow down. Or you could decide, actually, it's worth it to me to get there faster, and I'll factor into it. Once in a while, I'm going to pay a ticket. But, you know, instead, oh no, we're so used to the grip of fear on our lives. One time, my wife can't really lie very well. She lies all the time, but she's not good at it at all. And we were down in Mexico, and we walked across the border. And my brother was with us, and Ann and I, and my brother had bought a switchblade. And so he wanted to sneak it back, you know, into the United States. Well, he goes, here, Ann, this is all I bought. Put it in your purse. And she goes, no, I can't lie. I can't lie. I'm really obvious. Oh, and I'm even going, come on, Ann. Just so she stuck it in a glasses case way down in the bottom of her purse. And we go, okay, we're walking across the border. So I walk across first. I'm carrying like a bullwhip and some other stuff. And they don't stop me. It's just walk right through. Then my brother comes through with like nothing, no problem. And I turn around, and I'm not exaggerating it at all. Ann is coming across the border with her purse clutched to her chest. And she's like this. And they go, put your purse down. And then she's going, Dave, am I going to go to a Tijuana jail? I go, that'll be okay. And so technically my wife was convicted of smuggling. And the fine was they took the knife and they fined us twice the value of the knife, which was twice what we had paid for it. So technically we got fined $20. But that's a lot of people's lives are just like, oh, what are they thinking about me? And what are they going to do? Ooh, if I do this, what? That's not the way we're designed to live. We're designed to live sometimes to do things that we feel fear about, but to decide, you know what? I'm not going to worry. If I tell somebody that I'm going to church or if I tell somebody about Jesus, they might laugh at me. So what? Why are you going to let that determine what you can say? Oh, if people are saying their opinions, if I give mine, I'm afraid they're going to. And a lot of Christians even think that somehow if people see me being honest, that is going to ruin their picture of Jesus. Really? Am I going to be afraid that something I do messes up things for Jesus? Really? I mean, he's way better than that. And if he is depending on me to be really perfect so that people will see him, he's in trouble. He's just pretty much done. But we live in fear. We have a guy like Daniel who goes, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And I don't care what people think of it. And I don't care what they're going to do about it. And they may kill me, but I am not the kind of person that just does what's based on what I'm afraid of. I'm the person that just lives my life and does what I'm used to doing. Now, going along with that concept of fear is the idea that, you know, he had a life of discipline. See, this business of every day at the same time, in the same way, facing Jerusalem, windows open, he would pray. Now, sometimes we would look at that and go, yeah, that's what you need to do. You need to be legalistic. You have to do what God says no matter what. No, God never said that. God never said you have to pray three times a day facing Jerusalem. It doesn't say as God commanded. It says as was his custom. He'd been doing it for a long time. In other words, he developed this habit on his own. And I wonder, do we even care to develop good habits? Do we have discipline in our lives to say, you know, I'm going to do this? And even more than that, why do we do what we do? Do we do what we do because we have to? Or do we do what we do because that's what we want to do? That's what we choose to do. That's what we believe is who we want to be. A legalistic perspective of life tells you, here are the rules, you better follow them. So if we had a rule, like let's say you read Daniel and you decide, boy, I think God wants everyone to pray towards Jerusalem with their windows open three times a day. You have to do it. God never said that. It's just what Daniel decided he did. Now, if you admire Daniel and go, I'd like to be the kind of guy that does that too, great, knock yourself out. Do that. But we all have to decide the kinds of disciplines that we can apply to our own lives. See, there isn't anything in the Bible that says, for instance, you need to read your Bible every day. There isn't anything that says that. There's nothing in the Bible that even tells pastors you should teach through the Bible or that you should teach verse by verse. In fact, there are almost no examples in the Bible of anyone even doing that. Is it wrong to do that? Of course not. I mean, but I do that because I choose to do that. I don't do that because I have to do that. And in so many other ways, there are things that we take and we turn them into rules. And if you think about how you live your life, how often, how common is it for you to say, I have to do this? You know, this morning we have to go to church, and we have to go out to lunch, and then we have to go see some people, and then we have to watch the evening football game, and then I have to get things all ready for work tomorrow, and then tomorrow I have to go to work. And we live our whole lives as if somehow we're slaves that have to do things. And we don't realize, no, I choose to do it. You know, you don't have to go to church. God will still love you if you don't go to church. You don't have to go to work. It may change your life if you don't. But how much different is it to just go, this is what I do because this is who I am? You don't have to witness to people. But if you decide that you want to be the type of person who shares your faith because that matters to you, then you need to bring yourself to a point where you apply some discipline in your life in order to do it. Throughout the history of the church, they've talked about some of these disciplines. The discipline of prayer. The discipline of reading your Bible. The discipline of going off and getting alone sometimes. The discipline of silence. The discipline of fasting, the discipline of giving, and, you know, serving and things like that. Don't take disciplines and turn them into laws. Laws are blind and stupid, like the Medo-Persians. They had their law, and look how legalistic they were. He's the king. Darius is in charge of everything. And you're just like, whoa, that's the law, so I guess I have to do it. God's people traditionally keep devolving into that kind of a relationship with the law. If you read Jesus in his interaction with the Pharisees, you see what happens. They take the Old Testament law and they made it like the laws of the Medes and the Persians, that no matter what, this is what you have to do. We are enslaved to the law. Jesus makes it very clear. The law doesn't mean you should be stupid. The law doesn't mean you can't apply common sense. Jesus was violating technically the law that says you can't work on the Sabbath when he would heal people, because healing people is what he did for a living. But was it right or wrong? And he made the point. Of course, the point of the law was not so that you can't heal people on the Sabbath. Come on, if your cow falls in a ditch on the Sabbath, pull them out. And yet, what the Pharisees had done is they felt really comfortable having a set of rules that caused them to not have any kind of discretion, any kind of sense of who am I, just follow these rules. And they were dead, and they had no relationship with God at all. And I'll tell you something, Christians today are so often the same way. We are more like Pharisees probably than we are like Jesus so often. And here's why. Because we get the idea that what God's word is something that tells us what we have to do. Now, the fact that Jesus died for us, it's what we call the gospel. Jesus died, rose again. Now, everything that we do, if we confess it, it will be forgiven, and we are set free. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. What does a free person look like? A free person can do whatever they want. Now, when you talk about grace, there are a lot of people who are like, oh, that's really dangerous, Pastor. If you tell people they can do whatever they want, some of these people want to go do horrible things. I get that. But the gospel would say that even if you go do a horrible thing, he loves you anyway and he'll forgive you. Now, I don't want to have that discussion with you about you, but then it would prove that you're really not a... No, that's, you're missing the point. Like, there are a lot of things we do that we're drawn to do that aren't good for us. But I would ask you, is that really what you want to do? Now, when temptation comes in, if you sit there at dinner and there's more food than you really need to eat, do you really honestly want to be the person that eats so much that it makes you sick? And then pile dessert on top of that, and then get a little something, chase it with some, a bunch of alcohol after that. And is that really who you want to be? You're like, some days. Oh, okay. I get it. If you do that, he'll forgive you. But once you begin to get in touch with who you really want to be, I don't think anyone wants to do things that shortens their life. I don't think anyone wants to do things that makes them feel stupid. I don't think anyone wants to be the kind of person that can't be trusted in. You go, hey, sometimes I want to cheat on my spouse. Really? Do you really want to be that person? See, so many people just say, boy, I would do this, but I can't because God said not to. And then we sit here feeling like a slave to God, like God won't let us do anything. And we're like, whoops, the law of the Medes and the Persians. Sorry, we have to. A free person, like Daniel, understands, know what? I am free to be who I really want to be. God has set me free. And therefore, it turns out like I like being somebody who's thankful to God. So I'm going to establish my own tradition of discipline where 3 times a day, this is what I'm going to do. And if anybody has a problem with it or wants to argue with me about it, it doesn't matter. That's just what I do. He didn't say, that's what I have to do. He said, that's what I do. Something for us to consider. How many of the things, and an awful lot of the things in your life that you do because you think you have to do them, if you analyze it and think about it very much, you would go, actually, I do want to do it. But like being faithful to your spouse, you're like, oh, I have to. How insulting is that to the person that you are with, that you're with them because you have to? Because God doesn't give you any other choice. I think if you think about it, you're going to realize, actually, I want to be the kind of person who's faithful to my spouse. I don't know anyone who really wants to be that person who's out there flaunting an immoral lifestyle. Nobody thinks, when I grow up, that's what I want to be, Hugh Hefner. Nobody wants to be Hugh Hefner. People become Hugh Hefner when they get so tired of the burden of the law that they just bust out. And that's where most people's lives fall apart, is when the law wears them out. The truth is, God doesn't have a law of the Medes and Persians. God does not govern your life with a rule book. Jesus said, if you come to me, you'll be free indeed. That's what he wants to do. But at some point, I have to decide, and so do you, who do I really want to be? If I have no restrictions on myself, what kind of person do I want to be? And if I decide what kind of person that I'm going to be, then I need to begin to institute some disciplines in my life that will help me to be that person. But it is not saying, I have to do this, I have to do this. It's, I get to do this, I get to do that, or even maybe in a stronger way, to say, I do this because this is who I am. I'm not that guy. I'm not that woman who does that. I've decided that I'm the kind of person who, this is the life that I live. This is who I am. And Daniel just shines. He had no religious authorities over him. He had no one that was going to rat him out for being a bad follower of Jehovah. He had no peers by this time. He just had himself and a God and a decision. What kind of a man do I really want to be? And he exercised his freedom by putting some discipline in his life. And I think if we understand freedom, if we understand the gospel, then we'll find out that actually I didn't want to break all the rules. It's just, it's rules. I felt like I had to. And when somebody tells me I have to, I don't want to do it. But instead, if somebody goes, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be afraid of anybody. You can do whatever you want to do. Now you're forced to look in the mirror and say, so what do I really want to do? Who do I really want to be? And Daniel stands out as a guy who created his own customs. And that's who we should be as well. Let's decide, who do we really want to be if we're free? And what kinds of disciplines can I institute in my life? What sort of rituals can I create? What kinds of traditions can I develop that will end up causing me to be the person that I really want to be anyway? People who ruin their lives never intend to. They just feel so pressured by the law that they want to bust out of it. Jesus Christ busted the law when he died for us. He set us free. So forget doing anything because you have to, you're supposed to. Figure out who you are and establish the kinds of rituals and traditions and activities that will lead you to the law of life that you really want, which is the life that sets you free in Christ. Daniel shows us that God doesn't work by the laws of the Medes and Persians. He doesn't say, sorry, the law is bigger than me. He says, I made it. Sabbath was created for man, and I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. How about that? What kind of freedom comes from that kind of a thing? And so Paul says in Colossians, don't let people judge you according to Sabbaths. Paul also said, you know what? I don't let anybody judge me, and I don't even judge myself. I'll let God judge me. That freedom is amazing. And that's what he always wanted for us. Not to make us people who walk in lockstep and act like each other and we're constantly freaking out about what are people going to think of me now. He wants to set us free, to send us off and say, man, when you know me and you see what I want for you, you'll realize all I want is for you to be free. Not that that doesn't involve any kind of discipline. A lack of discipline will always deteriorate into then being a slave. Discipline is what makes us free. And so to establish those things, this is what he wants. It's really simple. It's not complicated. And it's really what God has been trying to say through the entire Bible. But it's so uncharacteristic of what people who are trying to be religious end up falling into. that we would rather have the shortcut. Look, you just tell me what to do and I'll do it. So I'm a Christian now. So what do Christians do? Do Christians do this? Do Christians say this? How do Christians do this? Just wanting to be told how to live. And instead, we have this great privilege of discovering our own discipline, of creating our own customs and having our own life as we grow to know him more, finding out, who do I really, really want to be? If you don't want to be like Jesus, I don't think you would have ever accepted him in the first place. There's something about his life that's like, even though it seems so bigger than life, that we just go, wow, I'd love to be like Daniel. I'd love to be like Jesus. I'd love to be like other people who I've looked up to. They made it look so easy. They seem so unencumbered by all of the burdens and the technicalities and the laws. They just lived life and it worked for them. That's who I want to be. And I think deep down inside, that's who you want to be. So don't let other people tell you how to live. And you seek within your own heart. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He can lead you. He's fully capable of doing that. Don't let somebody come and hit you with the laws of the Medes and Persians. Walk in the grace that Jesus Christ died so that we could experience and enjoy. And it works. It works. Everything stupid that we do, every temptation that we give into, is a temptation to leave freedom and to move into something that's restrictive. Don't have to do that. Really don't.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. Hey, we have new service times here at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. We hope to see you sometime soon. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Finishing things up in prayer now, here again is Pastor Dave.
Let's pray. Lord, I know there are probably some people in here today who have never set free and they don't even know what that's like. They've lived their whole lives trying to please people or then just trying to make people mad at them by not pleasing them. And the truth is, they really don't have a real grip on who they want to be at their core. Maybe they have a real nebulous sense of, well, I want to be a good person. I want to be loving. Help them to know that you can help them discover who they are, that you want to come inside them. You want to forgive their sins so that now there's nothing to fear. Now there's nothing to worry about. Their eternity is secured. And then help them to know that when you set them free, they'll be free indeed. And that that's what you want to do today, right now, as they receive your son and his sacrifice. Help them to know that what they've thought, what they've been told, it's just not true. That you don't want to restrict their life at all. That you want to open it up wide to eternity. Help them to know that they can do that. But for all of us who have, sometimes we take your precious word, your holy word, and we've tried to turn it into the laws of the Medes and Persians. Set us free too. We sometimes make Christianity look like it's such a drag because you can't do anything. Lord, help us to walk freely with you and to really have insight into what we really do want to be and what we want to do. And help us to find the ways to discipline ourselves that will lead us to just be comfortable being who we are in you. Thank you for what you did, for what Jesus did on the cross to make it really possible for us to be free. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We take you to Hosea for another Bible story next time on The Balanced Word. Don't miss Dave Rolfe's study called God Files for Divorce. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my